Hallelujah. 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 We thank God for the word. We thank God for what the word represents to us. Glory to God. And I'm going to let Minister Carolyn, who is our gift. God gives good gifts. And he blessed us and gave us Minister Carolyn. So we're going to let her go forth and bless us with music ministry. Praise the Lord.
Oh, God is in you, ain't a question. But, boy, you first love me. Woo! We might have been watching the same TV show this morning. The pastor was saying it. Think about When you think about talking about God's not, he can't, he won't. I don't understand or having arts of differences against God. God is passionate, so he can deal with what you're saying about anything you say. Hallelujah. And then he said, God is the God that comes to the crack house, to the whorehouse, to the jails, to the places of ill repute where they're doing wrong things. He's God like that. And nothing that you did made him come to you. It's what he did that made him come to you. It's what he knows that's in you, his Holy Spirit. And see, sometimes we sit and wonder, God, why? Why are you so mindful of us, God? Why do you love us so? Why do you put up with us so? We should have been wiped out. He could have done that. But God, in his omnipotent mercy, his mercy extends so far, it extends further than we can think or imagine. Thank you, Lord. Because I know, as I told my wife yesterday, honey, I said, I was cold, Deborah, I was cold. Some of the things I didn't think that I thought I was big and bad enough to do, what nerve I had. And then God, in his omnipotent mercy, said, come on, son. Lift me up, turn me around, place my feet on solid ground. Surely I have a testimony. Surely my testimony is still being told. Because even though we were yet sinners, God still came and got us. And then on top of that, we still fall short of his glory. And all our finery get dressed up all pretty and cute and wear the nicest whites and colors and rainbow and talk so soft and slow. I think my wife mentioned this earlier. We can talk so kind. But God, it doesn't even stand in his presence. It's like, the word in the Bible says, like dung. In place of another word, I'll use that one, that's a better word. He said, it's sinking sand. So, this is where everybody should be running to the church hall. But somebody discouraged somebody, and somebody discouraged another and another and another, to the point that people are running away from the church. Running away even, not just the building, but the people that say they call themselves Christians. Call them people that love God and are called according to his purpose. This is what is going on. So see, if God didn't have that omnipotent mercy, that compassion that fails not, do you think that some of these things would have been possible? That's why the song my sister so beautifully laid out. She said, he first loved me. That's my Smokey Robinson voice. Hallelujah. He first loved me. And I said, I'm so glad I didn't have enough sense to know. But God, I'm glad you know he first loved me. He first, not second, not third. He was the one before everybody. Say it again. He first loved me, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, he first loved me. Yes. Ooh. Tiffany, you're on radio. Somebody heard your name. We're on a broadcast on internet called Blog Talk, and it goes around. It's available for people to hear who tune in, and those that there, possibly called in and a calling number here to serve. But I want to say this. You know, when you know our church is for real, one of the pure signs, not because they forced them out of a car or gave them a home or helped a blind or a hurting person, not because of that. One of the sure signs that a church is really church is even though the seats may be empty by our natural vision, but the Spirit of the Lord is here, like I said. Even though there's not many people in the seats, a preacher, a man of God, a woman of God, you know that they are really for real when it don't matter if anybody's here. They can start the service. They can be the drummer, run to the keyboard, play a tune, jump up there and say, ooh, Lord Jesus, and run back to the keyboard. They can be all that. But the truth of the matter is, when they speak the word of God, the Holy Ghost comes upon them and says, not my will, but thy will be done. The will of God is to be done in our lives. This should make people say, okay, I'm going back to church. I know I did wrong last night. I was over here. I was under this circumstance. I was this. I was that. I was that. Oh, no. Say that enough times and the devil will, you'll get discouraged. Sometimes. That's what we do. But the thing is, like I said, you know, this is time. So whenever you go to church and they're doing all this and people walking with the right outfit on and holding the cross up and head up and high, ain't looking down to see the steps in something. Or they ain't looking around to see somebody that fell hurt dead over their knee, pray, drop their cross and run over there. No. Know that when the word of God is going forth and ain't nobody there for them to preach to, the true heart of God and a man of God and a woman of God, I got to emphasize that because it ain't just a man. It's when they are preached when ain't nobody there. Hallelujah. Give the Lord some praise. He deserves it. Oh, man. Well, let me tell you my little story. I've been laboring all week, boy. God, I've been laboring all week for the word of God. God is funny. I don't know about some of these preachers. They get the whole sermon written down, have a book, and they be turning the page. As if we, and the Lord said that we are not to do that. And when we come, and when we come back, you know, they copy. The Lord deals with me at this. Was it Friday after I was going to, I took college with them. And I said I was going to the library. And I was going to study. I was going to read. I was going to get some reading. More than 20 things happened. Turned me around when I found out it was nighttime. I was getting in the bed. Never read and got to open, I didn't even open my Bible. But I was in my mind thinking about things that God. See, this is where you kind of get to know that it's not about you. See, when you think it's about you, preparation is something you do. You prepare. Be ye also ready. Because you never know when God's going to call you to do. But see, it's not you that's doing, it's God. At all points, he will set your mouth, put the words right out, coming out the back of your head and out of your mouth. And you won't, you be saying to yourself, you said, I'm preaching to myself. Because it's not you pervading speaking to that money. It's the Spirit of God coming out of you. So know that. That's just a little something for you to think about. Remember, don't get caught up in, you know, the big church and all that, and a lot of people and friends and family and all that's good. But do not forsake small beginnings when you first got started. Everybody would love to have a speakable basket envelopes falling out the side of it, along with my personal cash. People didn't want to write their name down. They just wanted to put it in there. Got that nice music going. And, oh, you got on your nice clothes. I just said, man, I felt like dressing up today. Some days, no. Tyler knows that, right, Tyler? Sometimes Tyler comes in with his shorts on. Then he throws his shorts on, getting ready for work. Tyler's getting ready for work. We dress down. Just, you know, galaxy. Carol got scout flies up all the time. I say, oh, Carol, my sister, she don't never. I think, one time I seen Carol said jeans. Numbers did. I thought they were designer. They must have been designer jeans or something. Carol, she's always sharp. She just stay sharp. But I just said that a little fun. But the truth of the matter is, it's not about what you wear. God has come for more than your clothes. You know, man, if it was based on clothes that God would save you, they got some pretty well nice dressed people out there. They wear some of the most expensive. I still can't see. You know, sneakers that got the white sole. They're called loonies or something, lemons or something. I saw it on Facebook. And I thought, man, I like them because I like that they're nice. Like I said, deck. You know, they're nice. Call deck shoes from boats. You know, with the nice round bottom, neat sneakers, low cut. Oh, man, I like them. I've been seeing a lot of people wear them. Some guys wear them with tuxedos and stuff. Different other people, you know, in theater and music. Well, let me try. I found them. Oh, now I know what I'm doing. I clicked there. You know what some sneakers cost? They cost more than Jordan. They cost, and they ain't nothing but a little sneaker. I mean, a little low cut. Not even like his. I mean, almost like a shoe, looks like. But it was a tennis shoe. $459. And going up. Oh, no, that's the same one. I ain't the best shoe. Find me another one, look like it. Paint it. Color it. And do something to make it look like it. Because I definitely ain't putting my money down like that no more. I told my story about shoes one time. God gave me a pair of nice lizard shoes. What I mean, they were full lizard. Back to front. These are skizzing. This ain't a real lizard shoe. Snake or nothing. It's just man made. Look good. Them shoes. Oh, God, I want them so bad. But they was a size too small for my foot. Stuck my foot in that shoe. Somebody would come in. That's cool. Oh, man. Got your foot like this, throw it on the side, you know. Hey, I'm smiling. I got home. She was so tired of my foot, I couldn't get up. I was crying. Oh, popped it off on my toe. It looked like that foot did. And then move with Jim Brown and Vernon Casey, which is called, he was in the Army. He was in the service. But Jim Brown took that shoe off, his foot was gone. I'm telling you. Moral story? Don't wear no tight shoes. Put on too big as a fit. Some tight shoes will do something to you. Boy, I don't know what I was doing. I must have been on something to be able to feel, to work with that, to feel it. But anyway, the word of God. And all my little friend. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your presence. God loves you anyway. You don't come. But we welcome you to City on the Hill Ministry. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, I should read from here?
All right. Okay. You told me God put the word in the south. Told me where to bring it from. Today. Don't go back that far. You want me to read a word up from the head? Well, I work. Something that God wanted me to do. I'll do it. It's not today, this one for later. Thank you, Mr. Connor. Anyone, my wife, Deborah Gray, also pastor with me at this church. Youth minister, Carol, minister, God bless you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being my children. And to you, Tiffany, thank you for coming. All in. God has given me a word, and you know, it's funny. Like we say, you first loved us. And the word that God gave me is do not grieve him. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. It's not the spirit that God wants you to have. The spirit of grief is not what he wants you to have. He wants you to be full of joy, thanksgiving, kindness, happiness, you know, long suffering. When you see someone that irks your nerve, work on it. Go the long way with them. Don't get mad at them, because see, if you do that, you wind up becoming just like they do. They are talking to you back. You know, it's someone that you knowingly did something to you, because people do it, knowingly do something to you to offend you or to bring you down. Pray for them. I'm learning to do this now more than I've done before. I've done it before, but now I'm more and more conscious of the people that breathe my spirit or the spirit in me. All it's saying for me is raise yourself a little higher in the Lord. Come up higher in the Lord so that you can see the reason that the Lord hasn't taken them out of here. And that the Lord loves them. They are the joy that's set before him. And I studied that too last night. God being, we are the joy. Yes, got another one for me? All right. I can't read that one. He made the words. He put the words in your mouth. Thank you, Mr. Connor. Yeah, he's going to teach me. And the children shall lead. That's what the Bible says. Believe it or not, that's not no joke. That's true. God's the old knucklehead, old people. But these young people, they ain't give me no problem. They follow me right on. Stop. Dropping my word. Just want to be thankful today. And before I go into this, I want to pray a prayer of thanksgiving and praise the Lord, our Lord Jesus, who I found to be the one for me. Lord, you have taken me across many landscapes. I can't say I've traveled worldwide. I've only been in the United States. But I've seen the people from all around the world. I was a Muslim one time. I was a Buddhist one time. If I stayed around long, I might have gotten into Jehovah's Witness. I don't know. But I was looking for God in my early part of my life. And he found me. He found me in my mess. He found me in my unrest. He found me while I was a sinner. You know, and he saved me from a life of sin and shame. He gave me an opportunity to lift myself up, to get up off my face. Where I wasn't laying down because I was praying. I was laying down there because I was so inebriated, so full of all kinds of, you know, mind, mood altering chemicals. He said, get up. Get up. There's sin in you. And he told Joshua, there's sin in your camp. Well, God said to me, there's sin in you. And if you would just keep my commandments, I say, oh, I know you're not going to be able to walk in perfectly in me in the beginning and maybe in the end. But as you are in me, you are just like me. And I will give you rest. I will order your steps. I will do all that I have to do to make you the glory of God in Christ Jesus. So I thank you, Lord, today for what you've done. Decrease in me and allow yourself, you increase. Decrease me and you allow yourself to increase. And let your spirit speak to your people for the word of God, for the children of God, for the church of God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now, I was as Tyler read and Timothy read, they were different scriptures. Lamentations 3. I believe that was 3. Yeah. 3. Yes. I have it somewhere. 3 and 30. Yeah, 31. Lamentations. The word lamentations is referring to an emotional situation, very, very emotional time or time of great suffering. Now, see, God will allow us to suffer. Huh? God allows us to suffer. What good is that doing me, God? I don't know. That hurts. But see, God will allow you to go through. You notice he said here and at the end of what Timothy read says, nor grieve. He does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. That's us, the children of men. And Adam was the first of his creation in the form of man. We are all his children. And with the Spirit of God in him, that makes us children of men. Because we follow the dictates that God gave him in the very, 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 very beginning. Before he stepped out of line And it's so funny that men and women of God, high and lifted up in the Lord, so respected, so honored, and fall from grace as well. But see, it is with the long-suffering of God, the great arms of God, the compassion of God can do them good, can bring them from that way that they're living into a way of truth and light, a long, a mighty, mighty long way, too, as we said. So I just want to say, God, I thank him for the lamentous time when Jesus on the cross, he was lamenting. When Rachel, the children, were being killed by Herod. Yes, thank you, honey. Love it. Please, baby. They were being killed. I mean, literally taking babies his size and younger. Oh, what is that? But see, this Herod knew that there was a king coming, and he didn't want that king to be over here. He knew what being in leadership meant and how it meant to him, which was more powerful than anything because he wasn't a real, real king. He was over the people, and he was bludgeoning them. He was down. He was in them. He was abusing. He was a monarch. He was a dictator-like over them. And that's not what God is. God dictates to us, but he's not a dictator over us. Because he gave us free will to do as we please. But that pleasing is what he put in us, that we please him. But we found our way around that in this life, and we did other things. But the bottom of the barrel says that when all else fails, hallelujah, when all else fails, God is in the midst. He will bring you from from the guttermost and take you to the uttermost. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, you know, this lamenting state, hallelujah, God was talking to, hallelujah, Jeremiah. The truth of the book of Lamentations is right before the book of Isaiah. After the book of Jeremiah and before the book of, I believe it's Ezekiel. Let me be sure. Okay. And it's right in the heart of an area of a prophet who God loved much. And he loved God. The prophet Jeremiah was a false when he expressed his grief over a national tragedy. And what national tragedy is going on? First of all, let me say this. Jerusalem was once called Salem. And Salem, today, if we don't have any idea, Jerusalem was a city in the east of Asia. And in that portion of the world today, Jerusalem is right near, right close by to the city or the nation of city of Ephesus, which was at that time the capital city in Rome, in the Roman Empire. It was one of the biggest cities. And I said that to say this because sometimes, you know, we try to figure, this is one of the things that bugs me, we're trying to figure out where these cities were and where they're today. Well, you heard of Turkey, right? Country of Turkey. Well, that is where Ephesus was. Turkey lies in the area of where Ephesus was. A couple of journeys there. He went to the people of Ephesus because they were believing in pagan God. They believed in Diana, and I'm not talking about Diana Ross. I mean, they were believing false god, Diana. I think she was goddess of fertility. Not a soul. But she, you know, this, in other words, it was a pagan god. It wasn't God. It wasn't God Almighty. And when Paul went there and he told, you know who he, here's a name, here's something that you probably know. In the city of Ephesus, in Ephesus, is where Paul left Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla were pastors or so. In that city, that carry the word of God, that thought, hallelujah, that had thought, Brother and Priscilla, God sent, what's his name? Apollos, yeah. Always need help. I ain't never going to not say like I know it all. And he taught them to teach him, to teach Apollos how to be a true man of God. He had a zeal, and he was zealous. Oh, man, Jesus, not Jesus, he wasn't talking Jesus, but he was for God. And Apollo, Will and Priscilla was just like kind of calm him down and give him the meat of the word so that he could be a fisher of men, and a head over some of the in governorship at that time. He was the much needed help for all of them days. Lamentations is referring to some of the things that happened. Paul, he performed some miracles that day. But in the city of Jerusalem, suffered. They were captured. I think David conquered Jerusalem at one time. He conquered Jerusalem. And it's in the book of, what he did was, and four things were together. And then, literally, the Ark of the Covenant came into Jerusalem. And I think David brought it. The Ark of the Covenant was where the holy things of God were left, were put to represent or bear witness to the things that God did. The staff of Aaron that budded flowers, dead sticks, flowers growing there, wasn't no water, wasn't stuck in the ground, being nursed. It's proof of God that God has the power of everything. And there's nothing he can't do. I believe the manna that he brought down from heaven for the people of Israel that didn't believe that they wanted something to eat. They didn't know that God was taking care of them. That was a proof that God said, I will take care of you. And when they needed food, they didn't know where to go. So he brought food down, and that was the manna from heaven. This manna that is in the Ark of the Covenant is not favored. It may be in full form still today. I don't know exactly where it is, but I've heard so much about it, and I just believe in God's power of everything. And then I believe that the fragrances, some of the things that the oil, I'm not sure, there was other things in the Ark of the Covenant that depicted the power of God, the truth of God. The rod of Aaron, I know that was one, the bud of the flowers, and the manna, and the tablets, yeah, that Moses brought down the mountain. But now, you know, you're not the one that messing no air. Not you, Devin. No, I'm messing no air. No. You're messing around trying to get that heat up in you. You're truly from Africa. Deep part of Africa in the east. She love it. But nevertheless, anyway, you know, these are some of the things that went on. And God, and people wondered, they said, God, why would you allow it to be defeated? Why would you let the people of Israel go into bondage? Why? And they suffered so many years, and people didn't understand that, you know, God in his omnipotent mercy, and if you would just get with God, you may understand why he allows people to pass from this world. You know, your grandmother, babies even. They died. And people have said to this day, they're still dealing with that. I know a lot of people are still dealing with that fact about God allowing death to come to children. They ain't living like this.
Right.
But see, you got to have the faith to believe that God knows what he's doing.
Yes.
And if you have a problem with that, think about what he's done for you. And if you don't think he's done nothing to you, hold your breath. Because that's the Spirit of God in you. Hold your breath to see how long you try not to let it out. You'll be one proof in the pudding that God is who he is. and he loves you. He first loved you, that he gave you the breath of life and gave you a mind that is stayed on him to move and have your being in this earth based on him. So we stray from that. And these things in the Bible that cause lamenting, the book of Lamentations speaks on it, and it made Jeremiah hurt so. His heart was broken. He's seen all these things, and he said, wow. But he still had faith. He loved God. There was nothing that for him. He wasn't getting them off God. You know? And there's others. But this is what we have today. This is the power of God that's working. This is what will cause healing right in front of your eyes. If you are such a sore believer, being a believer that hurts, I believe, but that dead man's dead. He ain't getting back up. Oh, if only there were Lazarus robe. If they were only there to see Lazarus, they were only there to see the young girl that the man said that was dead. And God rose her up, raised her up. See, these are things that God has did then and he's still doing. What do we have to show for these things still happening? They dropped atomic bombs in all places in the world. They got diseases out here that are ravishing people. They have sickness that are causing people to lose their mind. I've suffered that myself. I went into in my diabetic state when I was going through. My body was out of order. My fluids weren't going right. Oh, I tell me, I was trying to put my shorts on top of my head. Even some butt head. I tried to put my shorts on my head. Tell me, I'm glad you didn't walk in the room and see that. I thought it was a shirt. I said, where's the sleeve? I'm talking to myself. Mama probably looked at me saying, I don't know. I'm still kind of, you just seen. I said, you know, think about pulling shorts over your head and trying to get your arm in the pants leg. Kind of tight. And I kept pulling off. And said, I look at it, and I went and did it again. Now, I actually remember doing this. Now, where my mind was, I cannot tell you. But I know those shorts were not going on. So I went and sat down in the bathroom, and Mama came in to me and said, she called my sister, I think, and she's going to call her. Where's your room, man? Oh, is that the time you took? No, that's when the ambulance came. The first time. Yeah, I was in the house. That's right. Yeah, that was a Sabbath. When I left y'all, I called and come in the room. But the point is in this is how God works on you. I didn't know what was going on. All I know is I had a cough. I'm in the bathroom. Dry heat. All the energy. I'm in that week. And I sat down there in the bathroom. And you talking about a passing moment. I don't know how long I sit there. Next thing I know, I hear this voice say, Mr. Craig, I look up, see three big old people, a big old lady, two other big old guys. And they said, what's your name? Am I under arrest? I didn't know. I mean, they just came in like they just came out of the sky. But all that was in my altered state due to my body fluids and not operating in my body right caused me to have some sort of illusion. I didn't know. But I knew I came by when they were standing there because all I could think about, because I've had a past life with police and things in my younger life, I thought that was them coming and rescuing for someone. A flashback. Huh? Oh, Toby Gray. They said, where are you? I said, I'm in the bathroom. I mean, y'all let me get up out of here? You know, okay. Jimmy, check your temperature. She grabbed my arm, checked my pulse. She took the stuff and stuck her thermometer in my mouth when the ones that go, the holy go, beep, take it out, throw the plastic away. I said, boy, you got a temperature of 104, something like that. Are you burning up? Okay. Then they started right there in the bathroom, started sticking them things on. Man, that was the strangest bathroom visit I ever had. Man, I didn't know what was going on. And when they finally pulled me up out of there and took me in the ambulance, I said, would you let me pull my pants up? I thought I did have them on. My cousin Ben said I had them. I come up and my pants were down. Oh, that was embarrassing. I can look back at it now. I can laugh. But boy, that what I did, but my God. See, this is what I'm saying. He first loved us. He covered me right there. He was covering me. He was keeping my supposed sanity at the time. Because for the most part, I was out of my mind. But he kept me. He didn't allow me to lose it all the way and go all on out. He didn't allow that fever to go no higher where it would have caused me to fall out, faint, and then go into some sort of arrest, heart attack, or anything. Kept me. So this is what I know and my proof. What has he done for you? That's on you. You think about it. Don't you come here and tell me you trying to put your shorts on your head like me. I said, whoa. There's that movement over here about shorts, you know, going on your head, thinking it's your pants, shirt. Trying to get it on. But anyway, so this is what we can recognize today. See, that God is with us. He's doing things. He's healing things. He's restoring the sight to the blind. You know, hey, it may come through laser surgery. They got all kind of things, you know, things that they do today to restore. You know, sickness back in before we were here these days was not treated the same way. Sometimes, you know, a person had a disease. You know, did they? If you had a disease hand, what you do today? You rub stuff on it and chop that bad boy off. You walk around with a hat with another. Not a day. But thank God again that you live in the day. Modern medicine and things of that nature, making it that you can't. Jeez, that's a baby. A woman giving birth. And still some of the day they had those midwives where they helped to birth the baby. They didn't have no epidural. Medicine, painkiller, whatever you want to call it, they didn't have that stuff. They might have had some strong chemical, maybe some wine, some real strong fermented wine to drink, to taste that wine to get that pain off of them. I don't know. When people considered lows in their mind, lost their minds back then, today they put you in, you know, psychiatric senses. Where they have people looking over you, watching you, giving you medicines to keep you calm. They do that today. You know what they did back then? They took you to the farthest place in that town and dropped you down into a gully where they were in caves and wasn't no running water down there. They come by from time to time, this is some of the biblical, and threw food over the hill down to the ground, and you'd be so hungry you don't care what it landed in. You pick it up and you eat it because you were trying to sustain yourself. So, again, the lamentation, the hurt, and the pain that we suffer and care in caring about others and nations and people, God, in an overall sense, does that for us. He takes care of us. He extends a spirit of kindness toward us and love and thanksgiving and, you know, we thank God. And look with her travail. A little baby boy. Fun, right? I can drink too. I got myself. Cheers to you. You know? You see, and babies are just so innocent. I see what God said. And, you know, he said, boy, you better off hurting. Taking a strong, heavy rocket hanging around your neck and jump into the deepest water. Touch one of them. You see people today abusing children, hurting babies, throwing them in, drowning them, shooting them, drugging them. I mean, God forbid, if my mother had done that to me or any of our nine children. I can tell you a story. When Tyler was little one time, he made me angry. And I took a roll of tape, duct tape, I think it was. But it was that white tape, masking tape. but not so hard. And I threw it at him. Ooh. And it hit him in the head. All I can say is, Tyler started acting strange. Why? Tyler, was he losing weight ever since? He stopped eating? You talking about somebody?
I wasn't scared of God. I was scared of her. That's what I was scared of. I said, oh, Lord, what I done did. Oh, I was calling him. Oh, Tyler, you all right? You going to be all right? Come on, let's go. Let's go play. Yay! Oh, man, it went on for a couple of weeks. She was just on quiet. I said nothing, just like, and that didn't help the situation. One day, one Sunday at church, boy got up, and he sang a song. I'm healed. I'm healed. He sung that song. He sung that song. We oh, man, everything came back. He was back. We're going to sing that song one time just for the sake of it, but I know that God is really a God of love and caring, and he'll make ways out of no way. He'll do things that we can imagine he can do. To my brother David, if he's listening on the broadcast, lays in the hospital bed and in pain, and David, don't close that Facebook account if you don't have to, because it's the way that I can reach you if I can't get you on the phone. And here's the other. I left a number for you, and I want you to call in and listen to the services if you're not able to get to a church, and to stay in contact with me. I'm always praying for you, because God can do going to do some things that beyond what you think or imagine. All the hurt and all the pains and things that you suffered from when we were young in Douglas Project. And now, and all your travels, and all the monies that came across your hand that you don't have a hold on now, that's not even the matter. God wanted to be sure that you suffer. He wanted you to be sure that you love him, that your focus is on him, because he's going to do all that you can think on that, that you can't even think on that. Believe that as I speak the words of Christ of healing over your life right now. Hallelujah. Over the hurts and the things that caused you pain throughout the years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The same is for the book of Ephesians. Now, back this book was referring to Jeremiah. Hallelujah. In the book of Ephesians, so the big story there is about the people of Ephesus, like I was telling you. And Paul was in Rome. He just, for some reason, when God told him, emphasize that city, you know, they even got to the point where he sent a letter to Ephesus. And guess what? See, this is why he called this church the kind of like the hub. Because that church, he felt like he realized that someone took the letter, passed them around to the other city. So they received this word of God. And you know what happened? The people turned from the being worshipers of idols to Christ. That's here in the book of Ephesians. And I tell you about the goddess, Diana, she was the goddess of fertility. And, hallelujah. There was, this is how tough it got. And, you know, Paul was a Roman by birth. You know, he was a Pharisee, actually. You know, he was the evil man, wicked man. Didn't believe God at nothing, not the God that we know. God worked him over, brought him to a saving grace where he did all these things. He did all these things in lieu of God. He had no fear of death anymore, of reprisal. Oh, yeah, he was afraid at first when he went into city of, was knocked off the boat going his way to Damascus. And when he got in, they said he went on into the city of Damascus. Because he went there to kill him. But when he got there, he was blinded by God on the road. And he had to, oh boy, I can't even see who coming if they hit me beside my head. And, ooh, I hope nobody went ahead of me and told him I was coming to kill. But see, the funny thing about it, the people knew about him. He was known all over for taking Christians out, just killing them right out, paying them. He had letters from the government that told him he could do this legally. So we want to emphasize that God, even back then, and even in the New Testament, updated times, up in the time of Jesus, God bless you. Hallelujah. God bless you. That he knew, hallelujah, what we was in need of. And Paul was the right one to be an example of what it was to be a Christian and suffer for Christ. See, God's suffering wasn't to show us how bad that they could be against us. His suffering wasn't to emphasize. You know what God's suffering was for? To let us know that this life that we're living, to get to the promised land or to the life of love, of milk and honey, the land of milk and honey, the land of the free, the home of the brave, and all that old good old stuff, that we would have to go through something. And being that the world was evil, if people weren't going to let you just go on and be a Christian and straight up get the benefits and be blessed, oh no, they're going to put you through something. The merchants, the very merchants to the people of Ephesus back then, you know what they did? The people of Ephesus, they fought against themselves for a minute because they said, man, you bring that Christian stuff in here, man, we can't sell our idols over here at the store. What's wrong with you? So we're trying to make money. You bring your Christ in. Christ ain't getting us nothing, at least because they didn't believe. They didn't believe that God owned it all. See, this is where we are lost. If we lose out not knowing the benefits that come as you stand in God, we're going to go through something when you was in the world. Tell me you ain't go through nothing. You ain't get your check 1 week. You lost your mind. This man, he's getting ready to get evicted. Living in the world now, not that Christ. But a true Christian, he takes things like this. He does it like this. While the grace abounds, I will be abounding. While grace, when there's the abasement time, when things are low and difficulty sets in, I will still be abounding.
Right.
I will abound. I will not suffer in anger and anguish. I will suffer with the joy as I've got the joy of the Lord in me. Loving Christ. Hallelujah. Never, never, not always realize that Christ has your best interest in mind. Do you know for the moment that he has you going through, allowing you to go through something? He may be diverting you from getting caught up in something over there. Or to something wrong that's getting ready to happen in an area that you are in. He draws you away from it. And sometimes with suffering, and sometimes it's called, in suffering, yes, but sometimes it's called when God allows you to go through, hallelujah, I think the word starts, hallelujah, he allows you to go through, and you are in it, man, you are in it, and you can't figure out how to get out of it, but God will cause you. He'll allow you to go through these pains and hurts for your good, not for your bad. He doesn't desire to cause you any harm. But you, as you read Timothy in Ephesians, in Lamentations, it says this clearly. And it's kind of like throws you a little bit, but if you think about it, it says, for the Lord will not cast you off forever. So he causes grief. So he allowed the grief to come to you, but yet he will show you why that grief is on you. Compassion gives you hope that it's not going to last always. For he does not afflict willingly. He will not allow you to go through affliction. He will not pull his hand back unwillingly. It would be under circumstances to make you better. Believe it or not, that's the way it is. That's why we got to always dive daily to those emotional feelings and demands that come on us. Oh, man, lost my job. God, I want to go somewhere and I can't go now. I lost my job. Oh, man, I don't like the way it is to be broke. Man, I got to find a way to get some money. Anything about God, you're backed off God. I got to find me with it, man. My buddy is home. These old people work at the store, and they all have a lot of cash. I'm going to take that money, and it looks like I'm back to work. You know, I can hold out until I get a job again. as many times as you go out living and thinking that way, further you'll come from one even thinking about a job.
Right.
You won't even be in the mind of a job. You say, oh, that's going to give me another old bank. Oh, man, bank? They got more money in the bank. I'm going to try that bank. Walk around, scale the bank, look at it, see the people in the bank. Let's see. But listen, you know, they got cameras everywhere. They got cameras coming up out the floor, in the ceiling, in the corner. They got cameras at the booth. Some of them are hidden. You can't even see them. And then they got that good old button back there that they press. Silent alarm. Go outside. All the police in the state of North Carolina be standing there. Going somewhere? You know, this is a point of reference. God doesn't want us to grieve. He doesn't want us. Oh, I just lost my father. Man, I could be. This, oh. Oh, man. This is a lesson for you. If God takes my life, mommy, take mommy, find the joy in it. Because if we were worshiping the God of love, peace, joy, happiness, the God of more than enough, and you've recognized it and seen it, know for sure that where God is allowing us to go out of this life, he's awakening us into forever living in the best of the best, some such of good that you can't even put a mind to it. Things that we wear on our bodies, rings, gold, the bracelets, watches. Now, you don't see them making pavement out of gold or silver or metal that you walk on. Normally, it's made out of dirt, made out of concrete, carpet. And the place that God's going to allow us to go, we are so in his favor that the ground is gold, pure gold. The very ground is unbelievable. The walls of the place, the homes and the houses and the mansions that he built are made of the most finest materials that last forever, materials that don't waver, do not deteriorate. They are made from eternal things that are the eternal, not bricks and mortar and drop ceilings and air conditioning. He said, there's one temperature in heaven. Bless. One temperature. I know I jumped on my mother. Don't let mama mess with air conditioning. She happens in you. Burn up. She turned on heat. In heaven ain't no doubt. God set the atmosphere. Joy, peace, and happiness. Now, the last time, if I remember, when you was having a good time, when you was on the football field, Tyler, Timothy, when you was running track and you was leading that race, when your team was running and they was coming over that line and you was happy, wasn't even on your mind. You think about those temperatures. You, when the football team was going and you cheering your team on, hey, hey, ooh, 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 you know, when you ran that touchdown, you just stopped to, man, you was running like a jet rocket. All the heat was going that way, and you was going that way. You know, it was very cool in the direction you was going. But, and I say that to make you understand that. See, it's not grief that God wants us to have. If a person is sick, you think God wants them to miss them? You think this helps them in their sickness? Oh, I hope you'll feel better. I'm down as much as you're feeling down. If you stand there trying to stand up, and I'm pulling you down with me. I ain't making you feel no better. So and that can't be the grief. God wants us to sick. Come here, you sick. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, the risen Lord. The God that came before and behind me, above me, and between me. The God that healeth me. I preach this word of God to you right now. And I said, Lord, touch him. Touch him in the areas of his being. touch him in his loins, touch him in his biceps, guide him, hallelujah, forceps, his, hallelujah, in his stomach muscles. Touch him from the inside out, Lord. Take that enemy spirit out of him. I decree and declare it right now because you gave me the power, hallelujah, to heal, to speak healing over my loved ones and my family. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, be healed in Jesus' name. That's the way we're supposed to feel when the Holy, when the Spirit of God is here. We are men and women of God. Hallelujah. I hope for the moment that my young sister was here. She was a little bit, you know, sick, but I saw a couple moments she's sitting up there looking real hard. But that lady, you know, sometimes they feel like, hey, that baby could have run all over here. He could have peed on the floor. Well, I said, you know, Dennis, he was welcome here. And if we would get off that plane and think, oh, I'm looking at my chest. Oh, so now baby can't come up here. He's just, this is the altar place. He's got to hear you and your dirty, nasty self.
Say that.
And you're going to tell the baby was pure and whole, tried, true. You better tell that baby to get in the wrong law with the baby. You step in so it can be holy ground for you. We got to come out of the way. God, you come out amongst those people, that untoward generation. That generation is going this way and not that way, looking back and not looking forth. Get away from them. When sickness is upon us, people tell me, I'll be on Facebook. I'm talking about it. That's right. I'm talking about that thing that some people say, oh, I don't get on that because they just got this and that on it. Well, I'm praying for them people that are talking crazy too. I throw them up there and they look at it. I get a call that says, that was nice. Said, that was good what you said. Hey, that's all that is. They don't say nothing. But they need some of their life too to pick them up. They need to hear the stuff that we're hearing in these hallowed walls. That's what going into the streets is for. If you don't say a word, mama goes around the block. Don't mean she be talking to herself. I know somebody that looked at the store. I said, and gave all the flash because she can't get up. And she gave my twice, I think, one time. She's praying for hope and help and thanksgiving to come and happiness to come to them. And the people see her. Think what they want about her, but they see her. That right there is God being lifted up. And God said this. This is God's word. If I be lifted up, I will draw. I will draw. Don't you worry about how he's going to draw it. He ain't going to take a piece of paper and make a picture of him. He's going to bring them to him through the Spirit. He's going to break the feeling in their mind. Their faith is going to be on him at times when they're not thinking about him. This is what God will do. There's no escape. How can you? How can you escape the greater salvation as the salvation of the Lord? But this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. I'm glad when they said to me, come on into the house of the Lord. I'm glad when they said to me, hallelujah, that my steps are ordered by God. I'm glad when he said it to me, hallelujah, you're healed by my stripes. You are not able to get that healing on yourself or the pain on yourself. God took it for you. I want you to be sure to know that this reason I'm on this cross, this reason I'm letting it whip me, beat me, stop me, I'm made for. But I did it for you. I did it for you. I didn't want you to go through nothing like that. But the enemy still tried to play fear. He tried to use the situation of God, making it look all ominous, like he's brutalized. Because every imaginable thing that the naked eye sees and gets fearful of. But God did something today, couldn't he think out to this day? He rose from the grave. That stone that would roll over him would roll back. Numbers of soldiers would fly bars and everything to roll that wheel to cover that tomb. But he rolled back the tomb. Because he said he had the might of thousands. He rolled back that tomb. Got up. That's it. Feet him down. Feet him down to the point where he stood on the cross and he bled. And then literally the people know that blood that he was beating was life. And as they looked upon them in the storm and the anguish and the grief, they didn't know that they were absorbing life into their body and their mind. God had a plan. He knew what he was doing. God had it all set up. And hallelujah, the two, he pulled the two back and he walked out. And Mary met him on the road. He said, Mary, I'm not living completely yet, but go tell the disciples that you saw me. The Lord said, he didn't hear. He said, let you know, standing here, I'll give you a rock with my name inscribed in it. Here, clasp one of my arms up, and I'll show you your hand hold. They'll know and believe you in it. But no, he did it his way. And then when he rose into heaven, before he rose, he descended into hell to prove to the enemies down there, the devil, the hell, all the people was nervous. He rose, and he said chapter 3, and then he came back up, and the world had to see him. He went amongst the people. That said 500 or so saw him. They got to see him again. God didn't come out there like this. He was walking. And his spirit moved him to no end. Some of them fell out in the spirit. Some of them seen him, and there was joy. The joy had come, overcome with joy. And said just like that. He wrote. But in his rhyme, he said, go son of all the earth and just tell them about me. You don't got to show them no Bible. You ain't got to do nothing. Feed that Bible. Feed that epistle. Feed that word. And let them know that I'm coming back to you. For while I'm gone, I'm preparing a mansion for you. Because you deserve all this. This is what this kind of love I got for you. I want you to have it so good up in heaven that you never want to come back. So while we're here, in this natural sense, while we're here, let everything that you do be for Christ. If you don't understand it, ask somebody. And then they're going to tell somebody that Jesus is the Lord. Unto the glory of his Father, the universal Savior, the Maker, the owner, the cream of the planet of the Father, civilization. And I am the redeemed, the redemptive Son, the person, the being that was used to allow us to see that greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for allowing me to hear your cry. I'm thankful for you hearing my cry. And you pitied, hey, you pitied every groan. As long as I live, hallelujah, I will hasten, I will run, and not so weary. I will fly, and I will not faint. I will do all those things just to be with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I give you praise, Lord. We thank you. City on the hill. For those who are within here and voice of our word, this word, God bless you. God keep you. God thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You've got to have some praise. You've got to have some
praise. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless for a present of his glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, God.